Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Good evening and welcome back to another Adventure in History. This is going to be our best show yet.
This is going to be our best show ever.
Especially of 2022. I'm going to keep saying it just so
that's true.
Just rolls off the tongue. 2022.
So it could be all downhill from here. This could be the highlight of 2022.
It could. Our peak.
So no pressure.
None. I'm not feeling any.
Yeah. There's your little clue as to who our guest is.
We have a special guest.
We talked about the guest last week, but we didn't say who it was.
That's right. We gave you a huge buildup.
We did.
That you were going to be here this week.
Because you weren't here. So we talked about you.
I hope everyone's not too disappointed.
Now, how could that be?
No.
So do we give it
sure,
away now?
Sure. He's what's a hint?
He's, it's going to be a very sporty
show.
He yells at people.
Does. He makes them do lots of physical exercise.
He makes them run laps, I bet.
Oh, yes.
As punishment.
What else? He solicits endorsements and sponsorships.
People always sweat when they're around him.
Oh, yes. If you haven't figured it out yet.
Can you think of any other metaphors?
No. He likes fish. Right? I mean...
As long as they're still called the fish.
They are called the fish.
Yes.
Yes.
But so they may not be. Isn't there like a huge controversy we don't want to walk into?
Probably. But yes, I bet he doesn't want to.
Yes.
But we have Coach Howard Rube here tonight. Thank you for joining us.
I'm excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
And you are a radio personality as well.
Well, that's a story too, how we ended up with the Rube Report at one time. And it's been off air since the pandemic, but we're talking about bringing it back. So, yeah.
Well, it's back tonight.
And how long did you do it?
Boy, that's a good question.
You were on for a while, like 10 years,
yeah,
7, 9 years?
Maybe more. Okay. Maybe about, at least a good 10, 11 years.
Wow.
Oh, goodness.
All right. Yeah. So let's get right to it because this is going to be a good show. So these are things that happen tomorrow, January 24th. Again, if you want to pretend to be smart, like you pay attention and know stuff, you can comment and say, they're icebreakers.
Yep, that's good.
So 1656, the first Jewish doctor in North American colonies, Jacob Lombroso, arrives in Maryland.
Oh.
I like that name.
Yeah.
It's fun to say, Lombroso. Okay, I don't know why I'm making it kind of Italian.
Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, 1899. Rubber heel for boots or shoes is patented by Humphrey O'Sullivan.
Ooh, of course a man.
Of course.
Yeah. But at least it's rubber.
Rubber boots. Rubber heels for boots. That's good. I wonder if that made people faster.
Or taller.
taller. All right. 1908. The Boy Scout movement begins in England with the publication of the first installment of Robert Baden-Powell's Scouting for Boys.
Oh, you like that.
Not Boy Scouting of America.
Right.
Boy Scouts actually start in England.
Okay. Now just the Scouts, though.
Yes, that's right. 1935. The first canned beer goes on sale.
What is it?
It's the in partnership with the American Can Company, the Gottfried Kruger Brewing Company delivers 2,000 cans of Kruger's finest beer and Kruger's cream ale to faithful Kruger drinkers in Richmond, Virginia.
2,000.
1935.
It's a pretty good start.
And people liked it, so they kept going.
Sure.
That was almost going to be my history highlight of the day.
Almost.
I thought that has a lot of impact.
It does. It does.
All right, 1965, Winston Churchill dies. I know some people hate him, but he just makes me laugh. He's very mean, very crude, but he's kind of funny.
Very well known.
All right, 1972. Okay, you read about these things and you always think it's fake, but this is real. 1972, after 28 years of hiding in the jungles of Guam, local farmers discover Soshi Yokoi, a Japanese sergeant who fought in World War II and was still fighting.
Oh, wow.
He hid out. You know, you think that's just like a Gilligan's Island episode.
Yeah.
Yucking it up, but it's real.
Oh, my goodness.
Guam, a 200-square-mile island in the Western Pacific, became a U.S. possession in 1898 after the Spanish-American War. In 1941, the Japanese attacked and captured it, and in 1944, after 3 years of Japanese occupation, U.S. forces retook Guam. Hmm. So 1944, this guy's hiding out. It was at this time that Yokoi, left behind by the retreating Japanese forces, went into hiding rather than surrender to the Americans.
Wow.
In the jungles of Guam, he carved survival tools, and for the next three decades, waited for the return of the Japanese and his next orders.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is.
I mean, 30 years, wouldn't you give up?
Pretty idyllic place, I guess.
I think coach is thinking, wow, what dedication. I want that guy on my football team.
I was thinking there is a valuable lesson in there somewhere for our kids, for
Don't
sure.
Give up.
Yeah.
Sure. Don't ever give up.
Wow. That's that's pretty incredible. You would think somebody might be thinking about writing a screenplay about that. That's
maybe they did, and they just ended up as Gilgan's Island, and that was it. Because there was an episode where there's like a Japanese guy still fighting a war or something. I don't know. All right, but our history highlight of the day, the thing I think had the most impact on history, 1848. Gold is discovered at Sutter's Creek.
I saw that one, yeah.
That's why we spread across the continent.
Yep, that's why we're here.
Gold.
Go west, young man.
Gold in them nar hills.
Yep, that's a good one. I didn't have any more.
You got nothing?
No, nothing.
So then our transition has to be, so speaking of gold and winning...
Yes. Purple and
well,
gold.
And I had to head west to come find the gold myself. Because something you probably don't know is I'm originally from the Midwest.
We did not know that. So take us there. Where in the Midwest?
I was born in Joliet, Illinois, which is about 50 miles south of Chicago. It was kind of a blue-collar town. My grandfather, for people that have watched the movie... Rudy, my grandfather worked in one of those steel mills.
Oh, wow.
With his eighth grade education and served in World War II. And his parents actually came over from Poland. So we're not that many generations removed from, going through Ellis Island, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And that was on my mom's side. I don't know as much history on my dad's side, to be honest, kind of the son of a car salesman. My family was in the car business, and I at a young age knew I wanted to coach and teach, and started my career in Illinois. Along with my wife, we were high school sweethearts, so to speak. Our first date was homecoming our senior year, and
I love that.
Wow.
Yeah, and we we started our careers there. Circumstances. Put us in a position where we knew we wanted something different. And so she wanted to study a marine program offered at Oregon State University. So we quit our jobs and sold the house and
oh my goodness,
packed up our stuff and our 11-month-old twin girls and
oh my goodness,
headed to Corvallis for a new challenge. And it was... scary, exciting. I just remember thinking, well, if the worst thing that happens is we come home with our tail between our legs in 6 months, but let's give this a whirl. And doing this for a living, working with young people, trying to help them, set some goals and achieve some things and do different things, it just felt right to me that we should try to do this, whether it works or not. I just felt like I needed to kind of practice what I preach, so to speak.
So backing up a little bit.
Yeah.
As a kid, are you playing sports? Are you on the high school teams? And what are your favorite sports? And were your parents into sports? Or how did you get interested in?
Yeah. My father, my father was a big White Sox and Bears fan and played a little high school basketball. But we didn't really follow basketball a whole lot. But I ended up being a three-sport athlete, football, basketball, baseball. At a small school, actually grew up a little bit farther south of Joliet, probably about 80 miles south of the city on a bunch of cornfields and bean fields and a town about the size of Banks or Warrenton, not a really big town, about 5,000 people, not a street light. Mm-hmm. Graduating class of around 80.
Oh, wow.
Small school, it's about 350 kids in the school. So.
And that's where your wife went too.
Yeah. And we, our first date was homecoming our senior year. And then I think she tried to get rid of me a couple times through that process, but I persevered. I was like our guy in Guam, I guess.
Only not on the 30-year plan. Yours was a little
shorter. Now we are. Now we're on. We'll be married 30 years this August.
Oh, terrific. That's
there you go.
Nice.
So when you played those sports, were you any good?
No, not really. I would say I was a very average athlete, but I think my coaches would tell you I was a little bit of a grinder and probably did a little, probably got more out of my ability than what I should have. In football, I was a major film guy. Was fortunate to then go play Division III football at a small school in Bloomington, Illinois, called Illinois Wesleyan University. And finally broke into the starting lineup when about 10 other guys ahead of me got hurt my senior year. And the one thing I am proud of about that is once I got in the starting lineup, they couldn't get rid of me. Because I was able to make some plays, but it was due to me knowing where I needed to be more than any athletic ability I had. So, but I am proud of that. And but no, I was not. I'm not going to be inducted into any athletic Hall of Fames back home, either at that Division III school or at my old high school for anything I did as a competitor. But always, for whatever reason. Just kind of fell in love with all of it. Even the history of it, like the books I read as a young person, I would read about George Halas and the Bears and him starting the Bears in the 20s. And I just kind of ate all that up. I was into history a little bit growing up, but the history of sport really grabbed me. And, I think some of it too is I did as a little kid, I wanted to mimic my father. And my father every morning was reading the box scores in the sports section. And so that's what I did. And it all kind of came together from those early moments.
So do you remember your first professional baseball game or football game that you attended?
Football I do, because I was a little bit older. I was probably about 10 years old the first time I went to Soldier Field and got to watch Walter Payton run for the Bears. Around 77, 78, I would have been 9, 10 years old. And I certainly do remember that. My first baseball game would be hard because they were dragging us there when I was probably still in diapers. So I tell people that I grew up going to games on the South Side. And in the 70s, when I was a little kid, that was a rough area down still. In the 80s, it started to get cleaned up and more corporate. But, I mean, I saw some interesting stuff on the south side of Chicago going to Sox games. There's no doubt about that.
Now, did Bill Veeck still own the team then?
He did.
The disco night where it turned into a, riot?
I'm glad. It was a riot. That was kind of scary, to be honest. I'm glad we weren't there that day.
That's funny.
So at what point did you realize that you could make a career out of this passion that you had?
You know, it's funny. We actually have a newspaper clipping of me being in the sixth or seventh grade, I think seventh grade, and I was given like the Student of the Month award or something. I don't know. I have no idea why. I probably can't imagine that I did anything to deserve that. But anyway, it says in the newspaper clipping that I have an interest in going into teaching and coaching. So I just always knew. I don't know why. It's kind of weird. It's always obviously been a blessing, working in this line of work, and even seeing what my friends experienced, as teenagers growing up. It's so much easier for kids if they know what they want to do and have a focus and can set their goals towards that. I just see it, and now working in education for 30 years, if a 16-year-old already knows what he or she wants to do, it certainly helps the cause in getting them going direction at that age.
That's extraordinary. I mean, I think most people find themselves much later, so that's amazing. And I love that you have an article that you're on you're on record early.
I know. My family loves that.
Of course, what he's not telling us is there's 10 other articles that each say, I want to be an astronaut, I want to be something. So, back up just a second. Homecoming is your first date with your wife.
Yep.
And was that a dance? Was that...
It was. It was a homecoming dance. And
this wasn't prom. It was...
No. It was a fall. Yeah. And she agreed. Okay. Yeah. And so she... kind of agreed to go with me as a friend. That was the only way she was going to go with me. And I give her grief because she actually didn't even watch the football game that day. She went to Chicago and watched Cats the musical or something, and but she did get back in time for me to take her to the dance. Nice. And yeah. So, and the rest is kind of history.
Before you come to Oregon, had you ever visited here before, or what was it, strictly on paper? This seemed like a good.
So it would have literally been almost to the day. We came out on Martin Luther King weekend of 97. And I can tell you that because I had a 3-day weekend for us to come visit. And we flew into PDX after a delay in Reno. The girls at that time were only about 4 months old.
Oh,
and
wow.
I just, I remember the delay in Reno, dealing with the girls being a zoo, and then flying into Portland into an ice storm.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And I literally have never been so scared in all my life. We drove from PDX to Corvallis on a sheet of ice with our 4-month-old babies in the back.
Oh my gosh.
Not ever being to Oregon, not knowing anyone or anything, really not even sure of where we were going, other than, you know, using an atlas and a map that you got from the rental car company.
Yeah.
And I remember the white knuckle of that like no other. And I remember getting into the motel and hitting the bed and just passing out and not really knowing. I'm just praying that Michelle and the girls were okay, because I was beyond done at that point.
And you still decided to move here after that.
Yeah, we were very fortunate. We had a lot of great blessings. Gary Beck was the head football coach at Corvallis High, and him and his wife really looked after us. We were able to meet them that weekend because we knew Michelle was going to go to school at Oregon State, but obviously I needed to find employment. And we just had a lot of, I would almost even say, guardian angels looking out for us, from that opening drive on the ice to just people looking out for us, you know, to make such a major move like that. I've always said, if it weren't for the Becks, you know, we'd have been home in 6 months, but they really took care of us. In fact, when we moved out in August, the following August, we lived in their basement for the first 3 or 4 weeks. I mean,
oh, wow.
Yeah, just amazing people.
And so you stayed there, and did you end up coaching there or teaching?
Yeah, so that was interesting too. A lot of people, I'm sure, aren't aware of this about me, but I was hired to coach the defense. I was the defense coordinator at Corvallis High the 3 years we were there. But I didn't get a teaching position right away. So I actually started selling insurance for Country Insurance.
Wow.
And I did that. I ended up doing okay at that, so much so that a year later, they asked me to teach, and I said, you know, I'm really kind of making some good money. I don't know that I can justify that, but I'll teach one class early in the day because I know how important it is for our coaches to be connected to the school, and I'd want to be a more part of the school. So I did that our second year in Corvallis, and then they came to me and said, hey, look, we know you were, because I had been an athletic director and head football coach at our old high school in Illinois before we moved out. Said, we need an athletic director. We know you've been an athletic director. Would you do this? And the money and how Country, you know, I felt like they had taken care of me. I just couldn't really walk away full time. So I kept the insurance office, and I was serving as the athletic director at the high school and coaching the defense.
Wow.
And yeah, and so the wow of that was there was really, I was slowly grinding myself into oblivion.
With and, probably 2-year-old girls at that point.
Yeah, they were now three, you know. Yeah, and it just, I was never home. It wasn't a great way of living, to be honest. I mean, we appreciated the money. The financial situation was obviously okay, but it wasn't really what I envisioned for myself and for us. And so then fortunately, and this is just, you know, how things can happen and fall into place. Larry Lockett, who I know you guys know very mm-hmm. well, but he was the athletic director at Lebanon High School at the time, the same year in that third year when I was serving as the athletic director at CHS. And he actually just overheard me at the district golf meet talking to someone about having previously been a head football coach at my old high school in Illinois prior to moving to Oregon. And he just kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, you and I need to talk, because I'm about to be named the principal at Astoria High, and we're going to need a football coach. And I said, okay, well, and that's literally how we ended up then from Corvallis to Astoria. Michelle was finishing her degree. We, you know, she could have probably gotten that master's done a lot sooner, but having the girls and trying to spend as much time at home with the girls, we spread that out over 3 years. And so at the end of the 3 years, I knew we would be looking for something different. I had hoped that she would be able to find work in marine research somehow, being in a coastal town. That wasn't as automatic as I thought. So we had some challenges trying to help her meet her professional goals and needs, but ultimately that ended up working out as well. So, and that's kind of why we've been here ever since.
So what year was that then that you moved out here?
Fall of 2000.
Okay.
So,
22 years.
Yeah, and obviously the town looked a lot different 22 years ago.
Yeah, so what were your impressions first visiting Astoria and then the reality of it today?
Well, mine were real favorable because I was looking for an out of my situation, to be honest. I didn't want to sell insurance for a career or even go into management or follow that track. And so I was looking for all the positives, and it was all positive to me. The one new building, it was really what I stayed at. It was the Comfort Suites at the time. It was the only new hotel at the time. And I came and stayed there. Prior to that, and knowing that I was going to interview, we actually did on Mother's Day weekend. On Mother's Day, the girls we go over to church, and then after church, we get in the car. And of course, again, I don't really know where I'm going. We're following an atlas. I take the worst route possible, you know, through Scappoose. We come up I-5, get off, and go through Scappoose. So it took like 4.5 hours to get here.
Oh, no.
With 3-year-old girls in the back. And then there's really maybe one restaurant open in town on Mother's Day, and we walk the waterfront. You know,
the Dutch Cup.
Yeah. What and you know, we're walking by the canneries, you know, where Bowie Beer is now, and all those places, and it just stinks terribly. I mean, the fish smell is so awful, and Michelle is like, over my dead body, am I coming here?
Oh, wow.
I ended up coming up to interview, and I really, really liked the situation. One of the kids, Ronnie Kelly, was going to be a senior football player. I had always worked as a guest coach at the Oregon State football camp, and I had actually met him at the camp just like a week before my interview, and so he immediately recognized me, and it just, everything just fell into place. It felt good. Mike Owen was the athletic director at the time, obviously Larry Lockett being the new principal, and it just felt really good to me. And so I took the job really without telling my wife, because I knew she was not going to be happy about this. So
you're a brave man.
Yeah, I am very, I'm very fortunate. I'm very fortunate. I'm blessed. I did promise her, once I did finally tell her I accepted this job, that, hey, it's only going to be for a year. I'll make sure we don't have to, if you don't like it. And, she ended up falling in love with the place, you know, the more we were here. We just have found it to be an amazing place to raise our kids, and feel so blessed that have been able to do that here. And, no matter what, we end up looking at, you know, now our youngest is going to be a graduating senior. And so that is interesting, because, you know, you kind of feel like you know, some things that maybe people have come to us and asked if we'd be interested in or whatever, and you kind of just have said no or put on the back burner, because you're committed to getting your kids through school and doing all those things. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what happens moving forward. But I know we never plan on selling our home here. The Astoria will always be home, and you know, there's a good chance we'll finish our careers here and never leave, and that would be great. as well. You know, it's been a great place for us.
What's it like now too? Because you've been here long enough that, I mean, you've seen siblings and even, I mean, have you been here long enough to have, I mean, some kids could have.
I do. I have some students when I first got here that now have students in the high school.
And they are in high school. Okay.
Yeah. They were young parents.
Yes.
But yes. And so that is definitely interesting. And
yeah.
Yeah, a lot of former students and players with kids soon to possibly, be at the school or playing football for me. And that's been interesting because I've never thought, I would be coaching former players, but it's getting to that point where kids are starting to get to that age where that's happening.
I always think that's kind of interesting and kind of exciting too for the old, for the adults to see their coach, and they probably still consider you their coach, even though it's their children now.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. It's good. I never really expected that to be part of the dynamic of this, but it's been good.
So what have been some of the favorite things in your career that you've experienced? And not general things like I love kids getting together and teamwork happening. I mean, is there some specifics,
like
hey,
winning,
we won this or opening CMH field or.
Yeah. I mean, obviously winning the state championship, was huge. And, something I dreamt of doing as a high school player myself. And that still can get pretty emotional for me because it's still about all the connections and relationships that are part of that. And then obviously, we had Jordan Poyer on that team, and for him now to become an All-Pro in the NFL has been exciting and a pretty cool thing to witness and be part of in my own way of someone who supports him. So that's been amazing. The week before our semifinal win against Central, which was, people now probably have a hard time believing that we were 16 to 18 point underdogs, but we were. And so, and you have games like that through the years that are so impactful and emotional because nobody expected you to do this stuff. So, the kids in 04 beating Banks on a last second field goal, we kicked the field goal late and then they missed a last second field goal, and that kind of, in a lot of ways, I feel like that kind of saved my career here, and that's a story for another day, but I really think there's some truth to that. It's been a great run.
I kind of love that he remembers specific plays and things like that years later.
My wife would like me to remember things that are maybe could be more productive for us. Maybe help us.
You remember to take the garbage out?
But
you can remember that field goal 18 years ago.
Well, that's great. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We love hearing about how you got here and then why you're staying too, because you are part of the community and definitely shaping the lives of our young ones.
And are people allowed to go out and watch games at all?
Yeah, we've been having spectators, and we hope to be able to hold on to that. That's so important for our kids and for our families.
And if somebody wants to check schedule of all the sporting things, where would they go?
OSAA.org is the best place to check for schedules.
Great.
Fantastic.
Thanks so much.
Well, thank you so much. Go make some history, and we will catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for An Adventure in History. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN.